Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Thanks, Ryan. We agree. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this beautiful Tuesday morning here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. We now say hello to the voice of the Atlanta Braves. Chip Carey is on the line with us. Braves take game one, an exciting ninth inning. Braves tack on four runs in a tie ball game to take game one and walk away with the 5-1 victory over the Dodgers. They'll be right back at it. Game two is today. It'll be at a 5 o'clock our time, and Braves trying to see if they can grab a 2-0 lead in that series. Chip, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for joining us. There was so much storyline about this Atlanta Braves team. You know, everybody knew they could hit. Everybody knew they had offense, but there was so much concern about their pitching going into this postseason play, and wow, I don't think anybody, or maybe you're going to tell me I'm wrong, anybody could have seen this coming, that the way they have pitched in postseason play has been lights out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think the performances that we're seeing were maybe kind of hiding in plain sight, especially in the case of Max Fried and Ian Anderson. The revelation of and the evaluation of, or the evolution, I should say, of Kyle Wright has been great to see over the last 3 or 4 weeks. But look, they've pitched well. And these kids know that this is a huge challenge, getting through this playoff run with three established starters. They know that. But they also look at it as a huge opportunity. And I'm really proud of them and excited for the future of the franchise, seeing these guys step into these squared circles, as it were, and pitch and compete as hard and as effectively as they've done against some very good lineups. So I think Braves country is awfully proud of what's happened so far. But as Brian Snitker has said, it's all about checking off boxes. The Braves have checked off two, winning their first two series. They've got to get three more wins to check off a very big box and knock off the Dodgers. And while it's exciting to be up one game to none, I think everybody in that Braves locker room and everybody in the Braves organization understands there's still a whole lot more work to do starting tonight against Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, no doubt. And you brought up Kyle Wright, and obviously, folks in this market, we've been following Kyle Wright since he was at Vanderbilt. What do you think has kind of turned a corner for him? Because there was a lot of concern, at least from us watching, like, why isn't it translating? What we saw in college, why isn't it translated? Everybody knows he's got the big arm, but it's just not translating at the highest level yet. What do you think has happened, as you mentioned, in kind of this last 3-week window?
This is my own personal opinion. I think that Kyle Wright and analytics got him away from, made him the fifth overall pick in the draft. And the things that made him such a good pitcher and attractive guy, he got away from. He was throwing fastballs up in the zone. That's not his game. He was throwing sliders. That's not his game. He's a sinker, curveball kind of guy with a good changeup. He moved to the first base side of the rubber, and that made all of those pitches open up for him. And obviously, when you have success, you gain confidence. And when you get confident, you have more success. The frustrating thing watching Kyle Wright pitch this year was he'd blow through a lineup the first time using his good fastball, and then all of a sudden get slider happy and made an adjustment when he didn't need to. I think so many young pitchers get to the major leagues, and Tom Glavine's talked about this. They feel like they have to be better than they have to be to get hitters out. And as a result, they squeeze the ball a little tighter and try to throw the ball a little harder and try to make the perfect pitch with every pitch. And it usually ends up in a disastrous fashion for them. And I think that's what happened to Kyle. He got away from his strengths And as a result, kept getting beaten up night after night and couldn't make an adjustment and couldn't figure out why. I think that's changed. I think he had a chat with Josh Tomlin. I think that move to the first base side of the rubber opened up things for him. And obviously, he's had success and he's learned how to pitch into and out of trouble, finally, instead of just getting knocked out after two or three innings. There are some who say he has the best stuff on this staff. And considering what we've seen in the playoffs, that's quite a compliment. So I think we're all really looking forward to seeing him following up what he did in his first playoff start, doing it again against the Dodgers, and hopefully continuing to do it as his career moves forward. He's a great kid. We're all big fans of him down here in Atlanta, and we want him to be successful. And I think the best way for him to be successful is to do what he does best and not just rely on what the numbers think he should do.
Chip, we joked in the first segment of the show about we didn't even know this guy was on the Braves roster. I'll admit on the front end, I'm a TV snob, so I really like nice TVs and high definition and 4K and right. All that good stuff. So I've got big TVs in the house, and when I was sitting there looking, my vision as I get older is getting worse, and I'm looking at the screen going, well, here's this big guy. It looks like Panda. My goodness, they just put Sandoval up on the screen. I know I'm reading this correctly. That can't be. No, that can't be. I didn't even know he was still in baseball, and last night he makes a plate appearance. Pablo Sandoval, when did that happen? What did I miss?
About 2 weeks, 3 weeks left in the season. The Braves signed him after he was released from the Giants. They sent him down to the alternate site for a situation exactly like this. Look, the Braves and the Dodgers, everybody has expanded rosters. You've got 28 players that you can utilize during the game, but there's also a 12-man taxi squad that's available. And the reason for that is with no minor leagues, you have to keep guys in some semblance of baseball shape in case you have an injury. And unfortunately, last night, the Braves suffered a big blow. Adam Duvall got hurt. He pulled an oblique. I don't know if he's going to be able to play anytime soon. So Atlanta's going to have to make a roster move and replace Adam on this 28-man roster. But you saw all the permutations of a guy going down and how many things can be created by that domino effect. You had to bring Charlie Culberson in, who had one plate appearance since August 21st, and that was last night. You had Panda, who played the last game of the regular season and now is playing in game one of the series against the Dodgers. You had Riley, who's been your everyday third baseman, moving to the outfield. You had Acuna shuffling left, right, and center and playing all three outfield spots in the game last night. So, credit the Braves. They've been very proactive in going out and getting guys to create organizational depth. And I think that's the one thing that's very different about this Braves team in 2020 as opposed to the last time they played the Dodgers. Look, in 2018, the baseball gods tapped Atlanta on the shoulder and said, this is your year. You won the division. Go to the playoffs and figure this out. They were just happy to be there. I think the Braves, after last season, have some unfinished business. They're still stung by losing to the Cardinals. And I think they have a much greater palette of depth to pull from should something go awry going forward in the playoffs. And I think that's ultimately going to benefit them. Look, the Dodgers are thought to have the most depth and be the most balanced team in baseball. The Braves went toe-to-toe with them last night and showed just what they can do in situations like that as well, which gives you a lot of hope.
We're talking to Chip Carey, television voice, Atlanta Braves, Fox Sports South. Chip, it's great to talk to you. Great to have your perspective after such a big win. I know a lot of people in our area are watching closely here. You just illustrated what they did in the short term last night when they lost Adam Duvall. If they replace him on the roster, what's your best guess as to how they'll go about it? You mentioned the versatility of Riley they can play with there. Culberson can play a lot of different places. Is there a player that they could activate that would help fill those holes? Or how do you think they would roll?
This is just a guess, but I would think Johan Camargo would be the first choice. Look, Ender Inciarte is a gold glove defender, but he's had a terrible year offensively. I don't know what's happened to his bat, and I don't know that he would be the first option. I may be totally wrong about that. Obviously, defense is hugely important in the playoffs. If you wanted to go that route, you put Ender in center, Acuna in right, and you could play Riley in left or Markakis in left. But Nick has really looked lost at the plate in the playoffs and is not swinging the bat well against left-handers, so I wouldn't think he would play tonight. If you do bring up Inciarte, then you could play Charlie Culberson at third. You could play Panda at third base, and you'd have Riley in left. If you bring in Camargo, well, that changes the dynamic quite dramatically. You could play Camargo at third, Riley in left. You could have Markakis in right, and you could have Acuna in center if you wanted to. So there are a whole lot of options for the Braves, but again, it goes back to that outfield depth. All of a sudden, they get a little short when a guy like Duvall goes down with injury. So I think that'll be fascinating to see what they do. But the fact for me that Johan Camargo can switch it, gives you an option off the bench that's a little unique, along with Sandoval. I think that would be the route they go, but I've been wrong more than I've been right, and if I had to make a second guess, I'd guess they'd go with the defensive ender and take their chances, but he's a left-handed bat against the Clayton Kershaw. I don't know if that helps him tonight. We'll see.
Chip, one thing that is fascinating to me, and I think you've seen it, the bullpen has been so good for the Braves really throughout this whole process, even when they've had some issues with the start, big issues with the starting staff, with depth.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it crazy how a guy like Tyler Matzek, who you wouldn't have had on the radar at the beginning of the season, has become just a lights-out great story. Same thing, Mark Melancon for a couple years, arm trouble, was kind of lost, and then he's been rock solid as the closer. And there's so many stories like that in the Braves bullpen. The next thing you know, you've got a group that can probably match anybody.
Well, that's exactly right. I think what a lot of folks were concerned about was, oh, how's the three-batter rule going to force the hands of managers? How will he work around that? How will the relievers deal with that? I think the Braves are uniquely positioned in that they don't have matchup relievers. The lefties can get out righties, and the righties can get lefties out. So the three-batter rule really hasn't come up at all as an impediment for success for the Braves this year. And to the larger point, these guys that the Braves have, they've been good players. You figure that with the right coaching, and if they can get their head on straight and have some confidence, like I said with Kyle Wright, they can figure it out. And Tyler Matzek did. Remember, he was a number one pick. He made his debut against the Braves with the Rockies and beat them 5 or 6 years ago out in Colorado. So the talent is there. It's just a matter of maturity and figuring things out and relaxing and knowing that they can go out and get the job done. And that's really the case with all those guys. And what excites us about this Braves bullpen is you don't have to rely just on Mark Melancon if you need to close a game out. Will Smith can close for you. Shane Green can close for you. Chris Martin can close for you. Matzek could close for you. AJ Minter can close for you. So the Braves really are positioned uniquely to use a closer in the sixth inning of a tight game if they need to put out a fire, and then continue to use guys in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings to wrap up a ball game. So no doubt about it, the bullpen is a huge strength of this team. Nobody could have foreseen a pandemic. Nobody could have foreseen all the injuries the Braves would have had in rotation. But one thing that we have learned over the years is that in postseason baseball, it becomes a bullpen game. And the Braves have done an excellent job of stacking their bullpen to help create and formulate a game plan that's very, very simple. Hard to execute, but very simple to understand. Get five innings out of your starter, get the lead, and turn it over to those waves and waves of relief pitchers to finish out the game. And knock on wood, to this point, they've done it not only during the regular season, but throughout this undefeated postseason as well.
We're talking to Chip Carey, the voice of the Braves, Fox Sports South. And Chip, I've heard you say this before, that this team, they may not be winning. They may get to the ninth, and they just won't die. They won't go away. And maybe they don't come away with the win, but a lot of times they do. We saw that again last night. How much of that do you attribute to Brian Snitker, their skipper, and just he's been with the organization for so long, and just the mentality that he's instilled with these players?
That's a really great point. And the term I use is they don't always win, but they always give you a finish. This is a Braves team that doesn't die until you get that 27th out. And we saw that in the ninth inning last night. The three extra base hits, I think, all came with two strikes. This is a tough team to put away. They'll strike out and they'll be exasperating. And boy, were they ever for eight innings offensively last night, but they somehow, some way find a way, to get it done when the game matters most. I think that Brian Snitker is an incalculably valuable, piece of this puzzle for the Braves. I think fans forget when he came in, Atlanta was a mess. They're in the midst of their rebuild. He took over for Freddie Gonzalez. The Braves were like 15-27 or some crazy number like that, playing awful. Rudderless, in need of a change, in need of a new voice. And Brian was brought in as the interim manager. And if you remember, in that 2015 season, I think it was, Brian almost led this team to a 500 record. And considering how bad that club was, that was remarkable work. Then through the rebuild to go 72-90, and then the next year 90-72. So that's all you need to know about the kind of leader he is, the kind of philosophies he's implemented, the carryover from the Bobby Cox years. All of that stuff, not to mention the fact that a lot of these guys played for him in the minor leagues and know him as a person. He's one of the best people I've ever been around in the game. He knows the game. He represents this organization so fantastically well. And as much credit as the players get for their rightful place in baseball history and what they've done over the last couple of years, anyone that does not give Brian Snitker his due, I think, is making a fatal mistake. He'll go down as one of the great leaders at a great time when the franchise needed it in the history of this franchise, and I'm really, really proud of the job he's done, and even prouder to call him a friend.
With the bullpen and the depth on this team, they obviously have some momentum going right now with how they've started off the postseason. Do you think that benefits the Braves not having days off in this series?
I think time will tell. I think it depends on how far the starters go. I think the big question for Atlanta is going to come in Game 4 and Game 5. What do they do? And that will be predicated on what happens in the first three games of the series. Look, the Dodgers have four or five or six guys that can start games for them that are established starters. The Braves don't have that luxury. And again, when you factor in that Max Fried is the only man standing out of the original starting five in this Braves rotation in the playoffs, and yet they're still here and are seven wins away from winning a World Series, I think is absolutely remarkable. I think we're going to have a bullpen game in Game 4. And if the Braves have a commanding lead, if they're up 3-1 in that series going into Game 5, you might see the Braves roll the dice and go with another bullpen game in Game 5 and then have your starters come back on regular rest. And that's, again, a decision that the Braves will have to make. It's a new wrinkle. It's a new fact of the game with no days off in the LCS. But let's face it, this is no different than a regular season where you play 14 days in a row, or 20 days in 21 games like the Braves did the first 3 weeks of the season. You just have to manage your bullpen smartly, and Brian's been able to do that. And Lord knows he had tons of experience in the regular season of seeing his starters go three innings or four innings. So mixing and matching for five innings is old hat to him. I don't take this lightly, but he has done this before. He's done it a lot, and he's done it very successfully. So I don't feel that there's any great concern about navigating a couple of games if you have to pitch a bullpen game or two.
We know about the homegrown players on this roster, Chip, but how big was it to find a player like Travis d'Arnaud that has come in and he's a reclamation project? He's fit. He's done well behind the plate, and also his bat is getting the job done.
Yeah, he's a guy that a lot of the Braves front office people knew and knew very well. Sal Fasano coached him in AA when he was with the Blue Jays organization. Alex Anthopoulos traded for him. There's a track record there. The rap on Travis was he just wasn't able to stay healthy. Remember, he had Tommy John surgery. He was always banged up. And finally, last year, he got to Tampa Bay and just started raking and did a great job. And that offense has certainly carried over. And as you guys were alluding earlier, the fun thing about the playoffs is it's always an unlikely guy who turns out to be the big star. And d'Arnaud in the last round certainly was that guy for the Braves. He was pretty much a one-man wrecking crew against the Marlins. He's an athlete. He's terrific behind the plate. He and Tyler Flowers work hand-in-hand very well, handling this young staff. And the other factor I think that's very important, too, is that Travis has been through the wars. He's played in the World Series before. He knows what it takes. He knows the importance of every single pitch, every single play. And he doesn't take any of it lightly. And I'm not suggesting any of the other Braves players do. So he's a veteran. He's another guy that's plugged in and has fit in exceptionally well. And look, if you hit, you play well, it's easy to fall in love with the guy. And he's done a fantastic job.
I'm not going to ask you who you've got in this series. I think we know who you've got in this series. But who do you have in Georgia, Alabama, Saturday night?
Dogs all the way. Come on, man.
I know. I just want to hear you say it.
After that butt-kicking we put on the Volunteers, how can you not take Georgia?
Bring that up. You went there. Okay.
It's going to be a great game. And, it'll be a fun diversion. It would be wonderful if the Braves could have this series wrapped up by Saturday so I could sit back with a cold one and enjoy that one. But I'm just so excited for our team and for our players, and more importantly for our fans. The hardest part of this season for us in the broadcast world is not having the fans around at the ballpark. I cannot tell you how much energy and emotion and passion and love we get from them just by watching them watch the games. And the fact that they had fans in the ballpark last night, I thought was awesome. I wish there were more of them. I feel very certain that we're going to have fans in the stadiums next year in some capacity. At least, it may be small to start, but building as we go. And the players fed off that energy last night. And again, the only downer for me in this is that our fans can't get to Truist Park and watch the games in person, because this is a team that really has captured a lot of people's imaginations. They have a ball. They have a lot of fun. They are fun to watch. And I know that our fans in Braves country are really proud of them. I hope that'll continue to be the case. And we'll just keep following them as long as they go. And hopefully 2020, in this craziest of years in our history, this will be the Braves' year, and it'll be the first of many to come.
Yeah, I heard Freddie Freeman talking about actually having the fans and how tired they were of the piped-in crowd noise, and it was refreshing.
You know, they were doing the tomahawk stop in Texas last night.
Yeah.
I mean, all that stuff was great. And look, we as you guys know, we do our jobs for the fans, and the players perform for the fans, and we feed off that energy. We love that energy, and I know the Braves are feeling it from afar, even though the folks can't get to the ballpark. So believe me, from the bottom of my heart, for those of us at Fox, and even for the Braves organization, the players themselves, we really, really appreciate it. It means the world to us.
Well, we appreciate this visit. I hope that everything is taken care of. Game 6 is scheduled for Saturday. Hopefully everything is wrapped up so you can sit back, relax, and enjoy the game Saturday night. But we do appreciate you coming on. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, guys, my pleasure. Stay well. We'll see you hopefully as this round continues and move on to the World Series. We'll talk again.
All right, sounds good. That is play-by-play man for the Atlanta Braves, Chip Carey, and we do appreciate him joining us. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.